Fantasy Football, almost daily.
Almost.
This is live. Some people aren't hearing it almost daily right now because our podcast feed's a little messed up. By the way, this is Matt Harrison along with Scott Fish. Hi, Scott.
Hello. Apparently, yeah, the Apple Podcast app and Stitcher. Everything else is fine. iTunes is fine.
You can see it on iTunes.
Yeah.
You can listen to it on fanball.com.
Yep.
You can follow the feed and it'll work. It's still on Blog Talk Radio for now.
Yep. We'll figure it out.
But we're getting it figured out, and we will, I mean, maybe this is the first one you've heard in a while, because maybe we figured it out. But
yes,
we haven't abandoned you.
Nope.
We have been doing podcasts. You'll be able to see them soon enough, and then you can catch up on all the things we got wrong over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Go to fanball.com, and you can see the podcast on there.
Absolutely. I should also mention, over at fanball.com, things are working.
Yeah,
things are working pretty well the first couple weeks on Fanball.
Yeah.
This week we're doing a contest exclusive to our League Safe customers and our Fantasy Football Almost Daily listeners.
Ooh!
It's a $10,000 prize pool. It's $2,000 to first place, and if you go to fanball.com/leaguesafe, what it's going to do is it's going to put $5 in your account as soon as you click that link. On Fanball, you just get free $5, and it's going to kick you into that contest, which is a $5 contest, and you can enter it with that $5 we just gave you.
Yep.
Also, by the way, you want your part in that $2,000 grand prize? You can enter it 9 more times.
Yeah.
9 times.
9 times.
So you can enter it up to 10 times. So enter it. Have some fun. Spend a little money with us at Fanball. Keep the pirate ship floating. And we'll keep going. Also, we have a couple other contests too. You can only get one of these promos. I'm pretty sure.
You're whispering to me. I was saying you can get both.
Oh, you can get both?
You can absolutely get both.
Oh God, this is a secret only to the people who A, listen to our podcast, and B,
somehow got a hold of the podcast.
Somehow can find it right now. If you go to fanball.com/radio. It'll get you another $5.
That's $10.
And
right
then
there.
And then you can enter the $30,000 Take Me to Charge, which is also a $5 contest. And I believe it's like $10,000 to first, isn't it? Or $5,000 to first?
I think I wrote it down.
I don't think you wrote that one down.
I'm
but
terrible.
It's many thousands to first.
It's multiple thousands.
You can become
6,000 to first.
You could become a thousandaire this weekend on Fanball.
So since we gave you all these directions, fanball.com/leaguesafe and fanball.com/radio to get $10 free, I feel like if they win a good amount of money, maybe they should kick us some.
Just a tip.
Just a little tip for
just,
you know,
just the little tip. Maybe. All right.
just the tip.
Whoa. I can't believe you did that. Let's review.
That was the very first name of Andy Dwyer's band on Parks and Rec.
Oh, okay.
One of the first names.
This is our Tuesday podcast where we kind of review what happened in the last week and go over what we learned. And we're going to go game by game. We're going to start with that one that happened, geez, a long time ago now on Thursday. Baltimore and Cincy. Obviously, A.J. Green with the 3 touchdowns. I thought the most important part of that game on the Bengals side was Tyler Boyd, 9 targets, 6 receptions, 91 yards in the score. Tyler Boyd kind of popping up as maybe the second wide receiver over John Ross?
Well, Boyd's a slot guy, and Ross is the outside guy, so they're both going to play a decent amount.
I like slot matchups.
Yeah,
for wide receivers. Like
the last few years, slot receivers have really made some fantasy hay.
Why are they making fantasy hay?
they're scoring some points out there.
The other news on the Bengals side, obviously, Joe Mixon gets dinged up, had some arthroscopic knee surgery over the weekend, and will miss a couple of games, which means Gio Bernard is likely going to tote the rock heavily for the next 2 to 3 weeks.
What do you think? 20% of your fab budget on Gio Bernard?
0%.
Okay.
I will not bid on Gio Bernard.
What?
It's going to be a 2 or 3 week injury.
Right.
Unless you're absolutely desperate for a 2 to 3 week replacement, I'm not going to do it. There's guys out there like Aaron Jones who's coming back on suspension.
That's
suspension.
Great longer term answer.
Yeah. So I would
Gio Bernard, I will say, has been like a top 12 running back or top 20 running back every time He's all eight games that he's gotten, what was it, 15 touches, 20 touches?
Yeah.
So, he should be pretty good for a couple weeks.
Tough
matchup against the Panthers, though, this week.
I'm not super excited about that. Gotcha. Not a lot to learn on the Baltimore side, I thought.
Yeah.
Flacco threw for 376 and two. Alex Collins, still disappointing. I'm still investing.
Yeah.
I'd still buy if I can.
Yeah. Three catches, 55 yards. I mean, still had, 90 yards and whatnot. Buck Allen snaked the touchdown, though.
Yep. Got the touchdown in week one, but the numbers haven't been, I think, what both of us anticipated we'd see from Alex Collins.
They're splitting way more than I thought.
Well, also, since he was way up in this game from the get-go, so game script kind of moved him out of the game right away in this game, and then game script kind of moved him out because they were so up in the first game. Yep. So
AJ Green, stud, Tyler Eifert, I am now scared. Like, I was kind of scared after week one. Now I'm really scared for the whole season. I'm not sure what to – they're keeping him on kind of a snap count, it seems like. So
absolutely. Let's move on to the next game. It was Carolina and Atlanta. Christian McCaffrey, 14 receptions in the game, but only 8 rushing attempts. He's only had 3 career games where he's had double-digit rushing attempts. Everybody knows my disdain for the McCaffrey thing, grabbing him in the second round, and it's because he's a slot wide receiver who happens to line up in the backfield.
Right. Yeah, and 14 catches tied the NFL record. There's now a...
Running backs?
For running backs.
Quote, unquote. I'm holding up my air quotes really hard.
Yes. 14 tied the NFL record with 5 other people. Actually, 6 other people. Because Saquon Barkley also did it this weekend. So there were 5 going into the week, and now McCaffrey and Barkley are tied. So 7-way tie for 14 receptions. He's going to be a good PPR back.
He's going to be a good PPR back, but I think that you have to temper your expectations on what you're going to get out of the ground game for him.
And he doesn't score a lot.
No.
He just doesn't score a lot.
And also, it's worth noting, Atlanta's been absolutely brutal against pass catching running backs for years.
They were worst in the league 3 consecutive years now.
So if you think that this is the kind of McCaffrey game that you're going to get all the time, he's not going to be a double digit catch guy every game either. If there's somebody in your league who seriously loves McCaffrey more than you and will pay up still, I'd sell. I think the touchdown, you don't get the touchdown upside with him. You're not going to get the goal line work with him, I don't think. And you're really banking on him breaking a long receiving touchdown. And that's not something I like out of my running backs.
Yeah, that's
good player.
He's
wrong situation.
Because of the receiving, he's got this like almost a fantasy sex appeal or something that people like super upside, but. Yeah, realistically, it's not going to be like that most weeks.
The other guy I'll mention on Carolina, Devin Funchess, did get 9 targets.
9.
7 receptions, 77 yards in this game.
That's about right when Olsen's out.
We talked about it on Fantasy Football Weekly that Funchess is a target specifically when Greg Olsen is out. I think he had averaged 81 yards per game over the final 5 games that Olsen sat out last year. So
I will throw this in there. McCaffrey has averaged over 8 targets with a game with Olsen out, so maybe that helps a little bit. Hooper had a game, though.
Tevin Coleman on the other side. He gets his touches when Devontae Freeman's out. 20 touches. That's what we wanted. Got decent yardage out of it. 125 total yards. Didn't score.
Ito Smith was going to be my pre-spec last week, and I didn't do it, and now I'm mad.
He got 9 rushing attempts in the game. So
he should get 10 touches a game, but this was a really tough matchup.
So what do you read into the Matt Ryan getting 2 rushing touchdowns thing?
Nothing.
Just like an absolute fluke?
Absolute fluke. I want to know what his rushing touchdown numbers are.
He's probably got 2 in the last 3 years or something like that. Yeah, just a bizarre turn of events in that game. I think I told people to sit Matt Ryan last week, and I was getting blown up on Twitter. Oh, see what he did? He's having a great game.
I've been terrible predicting quarterbacks this year.
Well, I know, but as a passer, he had 272 and 2 with a pick. So that wasn't terrible, but that game's only mediocre if you don't add in 2 rushing touchdowns, right? Whatever. I'm not bitter.
Matt Ryan, this is his 11th season. In his 10 previous seasons, guess how many rushing touchdowns he had?
Two. Five?
Five.
You got to say things out loud on the podcast.
I know. I'm teeing it up for you. Five rushing touchdowns in his career, all within the first 5 years of his career. So he hasn't had one in like 7 years, 6 years.
Next game is L.A. Chargers and Buffalo. There's really nothing to report on Buffalo. Buffalo's a disaster.
And Melvin Gordon looks unreal.
Melvin Gordon looks great.
Eckler looks great as well.
Eckler looks great.
Man, Eckler looked really good.
I feel.
It's one of the five games I've watched so far.
So we don't talk about fantasy backfields where you can start two runners very often. I think Atlanta, the last team, was one of those. When Freeman and Coleman are both healthy, you can start both of those guys. I really think that the Chargers are turning into one of those backfields where, especially if you're in a PPR league, Austin Eckler can be a guy that can be started as a flex or just as an RB2 in any given week.
It's because he gets 10 touches or more. He had, 14 in this? But he's so efficient with them. Mm-hmm. He gets stuff done. And I will say, I had some stats on it last year. I don't have them dug up for this podcast. But the Bills quite frequently allow two running backs to be very fantasy relevant. So keep an eye on that going forward. I know the Vikings play them next week.
Yeah, so maybe Cook Latavius, and Latavius.
Maybe Latavius becomes a flex play.
And then good to see Mike Williams get into the end zone as well.
Yep. On the first drive, and then he kind of disappeared for the rest of the game.
Only had two targets the entire game. That's kind of lame.
It was a great catch, though.
Minnesota and Green Bay finishing the tie. The huge thing in this game was Kirk Cousins and the comeback he led in the fourth quarter. And really, the Vikings receivers. Thielen, 13 targets, 12 receptions, 131 yards, and the touchdown at the end of the game. Diggs, 13 targets, 9 receptions, 128, 2 touchdowns, and the 2-point conversion, including that huge 75-yard touchdown. That was a really fun thing for fantasy and for my reality team, the Vikings. And then Kyle Rudolph, he looked good too, 7 for 72. Not often that three receivers can eat on the same team, and Cousins made it happen in this game, throwing for 425 and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah, it's I don't know what you can take away from a game like this, especially when it goes into overtime. The stat numbers always just creep up.
Yeah, get the extra 10 minutes. So,
but I think it says a lot about Cousins that he can do this. We haven't had Vikings haven't had a quarterback that can even do this in years and years and years and years. Cook, there's a little concern. He's averaging 3.0. Or 3.5, under 4 yards a carry on the season so far. That line is not great.
The line's not great, and they got
Elf line should be coming back, though. So.
Oh, yeah, that'll be a big help. On the other side, Aaron Rodgers, put up numbers that a 60% Aaron Rodgers would put up.
Yeah.
281, one touchdown, no interceptions. Just played within the confines of what he could do physically, I think.
Yeah.
But one of the good things I thought out of this was Jimmy Graham and Davante Adams are still very startable and very viable.
Graham not scoring a touchdown and still being viable is impressive.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
But those two receivers, they're going to be starters every week, even in a difficult matchup, even with Aaron Rodgers hurt, they're still going to be viable options every week.
I think the Packers have to give a good, long, hard look at Aaron Jones coming back this week.
Oh, yeah.
Jamal Williams has not been effective.
Absolutely. The next game is Cleveland and New Orleans. We didn't mention the kicker in Minnesota, but another kicker who got let loose was Cleveland's kicker, Zane Gonzalez. Tough to read into much on the Cleveland side. Obviously, they shipped off Josh Gordon for the fifth-round pick yesterday to the Patriots. He didn't play this last weekend. It's Antonio Callaway.
Yep.
He was the big beneficiary of this. Only had three receptions, but had 81 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, he's the explosive guy. Higgins is going to be the guy that really takes over that role, but Callaway is the high upside guy.
Yeah. So,
by the way, I was right again on Fantasy Football Weekly to bench Duke Johnson. I don't know that he's going to be very startable until they change things around.
It is. Is it because?
I think a lot of it's because Hyde can actually play third downs.
Well, how about this? Not only can Hyde actually play third downs, but last year they didn't have a pass catcher who was super reliable, and now they have Jarvis
Especially short yardage, like Landry.
So they have a short yardage Jarvis Landry guy. Duke Johnson might be droppable.
Yeah. I think
I would let him go and try to, you know.
Sabotage drop?
Well, maybe.
Someone will pick him up.
There's guys. I see Eckler is still available in some leagues. I'd rather have Eckler shot over Duke Johnson.
When
I
look at those ownership percentages, I get confused.
Yeah. On the New Orleans side, a little bit of a disappointing game for Alvin Kamara. But that Browns defense is more legit than maybe we thought in
the past. It's funny that 15, 16-point games are disappointing for Kamara, but that's what it is. PPR, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, his rushing ability has – I mean, it's not – we're not calling it into question,
right,
but the results haven't been there on the rushing side of the ball. Yeah. Obviously, an amazing pass receiver.
I think he's also under 4 yards per carry on season, too.
Yeah. So does this lead you to believe that when Mark Ingram comes back – Mark Ingram's super freaking involved in that running game again.
And contract year, they'll run him as much as they can.
Maybe it's time to see if that Mark Ingram owner, if they're 0-2 right now and they're sitting with Mark Ingram on the bench with that big O for out next to him, they might be uncomfortable enough to make a deal right now. Mark Ingram's a guy that I think I would target at this point of the season.
And Michael Thomas is unreal. He's the best receiver in the NFL right now.
I think that We were kind of on that at the beginning of the year, that Michael Thomas had a good shot of being the top overall receiver.
His consistency last year was amazing.
Yeah. Miami and the Jets. Kenyon Drake scored.
I did watch that play.
What happened to your boy Kenny Stills?
I don't know.
Only 3 targets in this game.
I was mentioning this on Twitter. I looked through my notes, and I think I only got, like, when it was all said and done, like 6 or 7 guys wrong out of like 100 plus. I had a really, really good week, but Kenny Stills was definitely one I got wrong. My boy Quincy Enunwa, though, still on pace for 100.
Oh, now you've switched allegiances.
No. I was
Kenny Stills is no longer my guy.
I took Enunwa,
Quincy Enunwa.
I even took Enunwa in the guillotine league before in the draft. Yeah. I'm a big Enunwa guy.
Yeah, he was great 2 years ago. But obviously, spent the last year rehabbing an ACL, but looks up to task again, and looks like the Jets' best wide receiver.
By the way, this is going to happen to Stills. Stills, for some reason, has these games. In the year he had 9 touchdowns with Tannehill 2 years ago, he had like 6 really down games. It's going to happen. For some reason, that's just what he does.
Next game is Kansas City at Pittsburgh. We talked about this in the DFS podcast as the pew, pew,
pew, pew. I like that you just skip over the
stack.
Jets.
We talked about Quincy Enunwa. Yeah. There's nothing else to talk about there.
Paul had a great game receiving. Darnold had 300 plus yards.
Meh.
All right, let's move on.
Because I want to talk about the Chiefs and the Steelers. That's way more fun.
I just watched this game.
So,
by the way, people listening, I went to Hamilton on Saturday.
Sunday. You went on. I went on Saturday.
I went on Sunday, so I missed all the games, and I'm rewatching.
Hamilton
I've been rewatching
was
the last
so
2 days.
Good,
so friggin' good,
so fun.
I hate that I've looked up tickets for next weekend, and like part of me is willing to spend the $600 to go see it again with my wife.
We are cultured sports gentlemen who like musicals.
We do. I go to several. I go to several a year. Well, at least 1 or 2 a year.
I'm probably in the same boat. I've seen Rent in the last year and Wicked in the last year.
Ooh,
Wicked's pretty good.
I've seen The Lorax and Hairspray and Hamilton within the last year or so, and I'm going to The Grinch in 2 months.
For those of
and we were looking at Book of Mormon tickets for November.
I was super unenthused about Book of Mormon when I saw it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm excited to see it.
It didn't grab me. And,
you didn't like
and it? It sucks because I really, really like Matt and Trey from
Trey
South
Parker.
Yeah.
Same birthday as me.
Oh, great.
I
That's
know.
Perfect.
That matters.
Yeah. It's Tangentville is
date,
really good.
Not year.
But,
but
here's the musical, and I saw that it is coming to the Orpheum in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And also, this is one, if you're ever in Vegas, that they have it standing at one of the casinos. I forget which one. I think it's maybe Venetian.
Okay.
Rock of Ages.
Ooh,
if you have a chance to see Rock of Ages and you like 80s like hard rock, like Guns N' Roses and all those bands in that genre, Poison, Motley Crue, everything like that. You will love Rock of Ages. You will be singing the entire time. It's a really cool vibe. Like, you're just, they encourage you to drink beer in the audience. It's friggin' fantastic, and it's coming to Minneapolis in the next month or two, I believe.
Ooh, I'm looking it up now.
Yeah. You want to go together?
We should go together. Could make it a double date.
There we go.
My wife already teases me about you, though.
Why?
Because the other day I said my coworker Matt, and then I said, and my friend. And the way I said it, she has not stopped teasing. It's like a 5-year-old. He's my friend. Oh, we've sidetracked.
We're the best ball besties. Come on. Yep. All right, Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes. You ever heard of him?
I've heard of him. He seems to be pretty good.
Yeah, he throws 6 touchdown passes in that game. 2 go to Travis Kelce, 1 to Tyreek Hill, 1 to Chris Conley, 1 to Kareem Hunt, 1 to, who's D. Robinson?
DeMarcus
Robinson.
Yeah. 83% passing completion percentage, too. It's not like...
and the one receiver that didn't get a touchdown in this game was Sammy Watkins, and he hit 100 yards, so... Mm-hmm. I mean, nice game all around.
He looked really good.
Game.
I thought Watkins looked really good in that game.
I know that you pulled a stat on Kareem Hunt and his inefficiency in the passing game for about the last like 8 to 10 games of last year.
I wish I could remember what it was.
But he like barely had any like targets and receptions. Now he gets the passing touchdown in this game.
Yeah.
The receiving touchdown, mm-hmm. I should say, which was a 5-yard reception.
His only.
But that was his only target.
Yeah.
And so I'm still a little nervous about Kareem Hunt.
Before the season, we were both down on him. I mean, not like super down.
So,
we just thought he was in for some regression.
He had 75 yards on the ground. He had the 5-yard touchdown reception. Coming off a week where Kansas City scored all those points, do you think you could sell high on Kareem Hunt right
Probably.
Now? And is that a good move?
Especially with...
I think Mahomes is just going to chuck the ball all year.
Yeah.
And Hunt has just kind of not been in the ball-chucking game plan. So I feel like it's kind of a sneaky good move to try to see what you can get Kareem Hunt.
I hadn't even thought about that, really. That is a sneaky good move.
Just kick the tires. You don't have to trade him. I'm not going to panic if I keep him on my roster. But if somebody offered me Saquon Barkley for Kareem Hunt, straight up,
yeah.
I'd definitely go Saquon.
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
So, over on the Steelers side, Jesse James and Juju Smith-Schuster mm-hmm. both had these massively large receiving games.
Jesse James, they were not covering the middle of the field, felt like at times.
Kansas City's going to give up a lot of points every week. It's just going to happen. So you're going to be able to play shootout mode with Kansas City. It's going to be game stacks against Kansas City.
You're
going to
have garbage time on the one side and chucking on the Chiefs side. I saw someone tweet out a week 3 DFS lineup that was like all Chiefs, and I forget who the opponent was. They were like, this is what I'm going with.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can't. You can only have so many from a matchup. But
sure.
It was funny anyway.
Antonio Brown kind of has a down game, but still 17 targets, so we're not worried there.
No.
And Roethlisberger throws for 452 and 3.
At home.
If you're building a DFS, if you're building 10 DFS lineups and the Steelers are at home,
yeah.
You make one Steeler stack.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Juju is so good.
Yeah.
He's so good.
And obviously, James Conner had a decent game, but they didn't really run the ball at all because they were down 21-0 in the blink of an eye, so they had to pass to catch up. Moving on, Tampa and Philly.
Peyton Barber's still terrible. Still just terrible.
The run game there is just an absolute disaster. But the passing game.
I said bench him on FFW, too. I didn't care how many touches he got.
I mean, terrible. you said bench Ryan Fitzpatrick, too, to be
I did say that. I did say that.
For good reason, though.
Yeah.
I give you all the good reason. Philly's a good defense for the most part.
Yep.
You did not expect, well, really, 150 yards and 2 touchdowns of what Ryan Fitzpatrick threw mm-hmm. was O.J. Howard having the ability to just miraculously get open and rumble down the sidelines, and DeSean Jackson just outspeeding a cornerback who was covering him. So two short passing plays that went 75 yards each. So there's some trepidation in what you're seeing here with Fitzpatrick still. I know in Fantasy Football Weekly, he will be my take a chance on me quarterback this week because they're playing the Steelers. Mm. And I think there's good shot there. But, man, I guess you got to pick him up if he's still available in your league just to see if you can ride the Lightning.
So the Bucs have a week 5 bye, I believe.
Yeah.
I think he stays the quarterback even when Jameis comes back in week 4.
They have the Bears that week. Mm. That's going to be a much tougher matchup, tougher test for him. Yeah. On the Eagles side, Jay Ajayi goes down with an injury early in that game.
The game.
And Corey Clement is the touch leader for the running backs in this game. Gets 6 rushing attempts
Ajayi
and 6 targets.
Score that touchdown after he came back.
Oh,
just,
did he?
Just to note.
That's good. That's helpful.
But I think those two are Smallwood got, I think, a lot of touches because Ajayi was out. I think it's going to be Clement and Ajayi, and I think they're both startable a lot of weeks.
So Carson Wentz coming back this week.
Yep.
I think the Eagles you can start going forward, at least until Alshon comes back and at least until we see Ajayi completely cleared to be healthy, is you can start Ertz and Aguilar with confidence. Wentz. And wow, we are friends.
Yeah.
Other than that, I kind of want to see it out of Carson Wentz.
Yep. Me too.
And that's really it. I mean, it's weird that offense that was so powerful coming down the stretch run last year. Now we're just looking at a bunch of injuries and a bunch of weird stuff, and we're just looking at Ertz and Aguilar. Maybe.
Yeah, Aguilar, they're just going to soak up targets, especially Aguilar, because he can go. He's a slot guy, but he can be targeted deep or shallow. It's
nice. Yeah. Next game, Houston and Tennessee. Will Fuller came back. When Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins and Deshaun Watson are all on the field, man, that there's fantasy relevance in that passing game suddenly. What are you typing over there?
I'm just typing. Doesn't matter. But Deshaun Watson is so much better with Will Fuller. It's not even funny, as evidenced last year. But I'm trying to think about anyone that's real. I don't like Lamar Miller starting at all. I don't care that he's like a top five in the NFL in rushing. He just doesn't look good to me on the field.
No. No, there's nothing I want out of that. On the other side, the Titans obviously were playing without Marcus Mariota in this game, so Blaine Gabbert got the start. They didn't ask him to do a ton.
A cornerback led the team in receiving.
In passing?
In receiving yards.
Oh, okay. This Kay Byard guy was the guy who threw the 66-yard touchdown.
Yep. To a cornerback.
To Cruikshank.
Yep.
Gabbert did almost nothing, but Derrick Henry got 18 rushing attempts, and Deion Lewis got 14 rushing attempts.
I'm going to hate this all year long.
I'm going to hate this too.
I'm glad I have virtually no – I have some Henry shares from when he was coming out of high school. I have a couple shares there, but I'm going to hate that situation all year.
I have –
You get in games where they get 10.
I have
10.
Henry in both my Empire leagues, and I don't know what to do.
You get in games where they have 12 touches and 10 touches, it's going to be gross.
Yeah, absolutely. Like last week.
Like even this, 18 and 14, they didn't do a ton with them.
Think if Derrick Henry got all of those touches, and he was getting 30 touches a game. Now that'd be something. That'd be way more fun. Indy and Washington. Not a lot to glean here on the Indy side. I mean, T.Y. Hilton's a fantasy-relevant wide receiver, especially when Andrew Luck's playing well.
He's always relevant with Luck in there.
Eric Ebron only catches passes in the end zone.
Yeah, and it's unreal. The splits of how many runs or how many plays Doyle is doing, how many routes he's running, everything about it, targets. Everything is Jack Doyle, and Ebron keeps getting the touchdowns.
Yeah.
So he's just vulturing touchdowns from Jack Doyle. The running game's a mess. Wilkins, Marlon Mack split 10 carries each.
Yeah.
And then it's Nyheim Hines gets the touchdown.
And Luck has a down game. I'm like, at this point, it's like T.Y. Hilton, and then I don't trust Ebron to always score a touchdown, and Doyle, Sometimes he does this. So I'm not in love with anything on this team anymore except for Hilton.
Yeah. On the Washington side, I think there's one player on Washington
that's always going to be good
that I can feel confident in playing any given week, and that's Chris Thompson.
Absolutely. 100%. He's probably the only one.
Yeah.
I will say Jordan Reed, when healthy, I mean, he's still double-digit sure. fantasy points like every week, it seems like, when
yeah,
he's healthy.
I feel like on Fantasy Football Weekly, Jordan Reed should always be a C start. Like, always. we shouldn't bench him, but yeah. we shouldn't give him a B. Right. Like, I think he should always just be a C start, and we can just leave it at that. The customary C to Jordan Reed. Fair?
Fair.
Arizona's absolute disaster. If you have David Johnson, are you holding? Are you buying? Are you selling?
I'm probably it sucks because I think his value might be depressed.
His value is obviously depressed. If you can get 80% on the dollar
it really
for Johnson, would you do it?
It really depends on the offer. I might, or I might just try to hope they figure it out. That's probably about where it is, though. 80% on the dollar, just in that range.
Would you rather have David Johnson or Kareem Hunt?
Kareem Hunt.
Would you rather have David Johnson or Joe Mixon?
Joe Mixon. Easily.
Okay.
Even with the two missed games.
Okay, so he might miss three. He might miss four.
Yeah.
But right now, if you're the David Johnson owner, you would trade David Johnson for Joe Mixon.
I would.
Yep. Interesting.
I'm a big Joe Mixon guy for this year anyway.
Yeah.
For fantasy.
Yeah, so obviously it was a disaster against the Rams. The Rams just absolutely shut him down. Todd Gurley goes for three touchdowns and then basically just didn't have to do much the rest of the game. Brandon Cooks had a huge game, 7 receptions, 159 yards. T. Higbee, good old Tyler Higbee gets the touchdown.
Yeah, yeah.
But Cooks, Woods, and Kupp all involved enough to not be a complete landmine on your fantasy team, but I really don't want them anything more than a wide receiver 3 on any of my teams.
I think Kupp is the safest week to week, even though Brandon Cooks is he's been playing pretty lights out the last 2 weeks. Good, really well. I don't know. Cooks is kind of growing on me, and he's a guy I've never liked.
Yeah.
Kupp, his red zone presence, he didn't score in this one, is always something I love. I don't know about the wide receiver 3, but Woods is the one that I'm probably most worried
about.
I'm
just saying, in like a standard 12-team league, I want two better wide receivers than the Rams for me to feel comfortable with the lineup that I'm setting.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, they'd definitely be wide receiver 2s or wide receiver 3s. If they were my 3, I'd be very
happy.
Yeah,
that's where I'm confident in the Rams wide receivers.
If they were my 2, I'd be okay. If they were my 3, I would be through the moon. Or
don't go through the moon.
Over the moon.
seems like a bad plan.
Yeah.
Detroit and San Fran. You don't want any part of the Detroit running game at all.
Nope.
I'm done.
Nope.
I'm done with Kerryon.
I don't want
and
anything.
Blunt and Theo Riddick. None of them. Even though Theo Riddick had 12 targets and 9 catches.
Yeah.
He barely did anything with them after the catch.
Yeah.
So they're going to dump off
and
to him.
He didn't even get a rush attempt either.
Yep. So that's 9 touches for Riddick. 8 touches for Johnson, 8 touches for Blunt. I don't want anything here.
Galladay almost had another touchdown, too. And
yeah.
Stafford, nice rebound game, but it took him 53
Galladay
attempts.
Did have a touchdown.
He did. He almost had another.
Oh, Galladay looked good. When I rewatched that game, I was like, that guy,
yep,
that's a dude.
He's going to be a wide receiver 1 in short order.
Yeah.
He's already a wide receiver 1 this year with 200, basically 200 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Stafford looks very shaky to me this year. He's still putting up numbers, though. And
he
still
did
got,
this week, anyway.
He's still got 3 good wide receivers. So I think that you can't count out Stafford yet, even though.
Great schedule, too.
Yeah, he's probably ranked as the 20th to 23rd kind of quarterback in your league right now with the previous 2 week results. Don't panic yet on Stafford. Over on the other side.
NFL rushing leader.
Yeah, Matt Breida. I think I pulled up the stat yesterday. And I tweeted this. He's averaging 8.3 yards per carry this year. And if you take out the 66-yard touchdown that he had in this game, he's still averaging like 5.3 yards per carry.
Wow.
So not bad on Matt Breida. The only bad part is Alfred Morris got three more carries than Breida did. So that's disappointing.
Yeah. Dante Pettis dropped a ball at like the 3 yard line.
Yeah, I saw that he had a really nice catch in the first quarter of that game, a 35-yard catch. Yep. It was the only catch of the game. And then they went back to him once and he dropped it. And then they never went back to him again. And that was super disappointing for me.
Yeah, me too. Garoppolo 206, his lowest passing yardage total as a 49er.
Yeah, that'll
but
change.
At least two touchdowns, no interceptions. Yeah. So that helps. Kittle died. he'll be back.
He's going to find rapport with one of these receivers.
Tight ends
gonna
aren't good every week. Gronk wasn't good this week.
That's
so
true. Raiders and Broncos. Did anybody retire at halftime in this game?
Not in this one.
Okay.
Philip Lindsay, first undrafted free agent to have 100 total yards, two games in a row to start a career.
That's awesome.
Yep.
I picked him up in a couple leagues last week, and I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Sanders, clearly the wide receiver one for the Broncos, despite Thomas getting 11 targets.
The targets were 11-4. To me, the wide receiver one is the guy getting the most targets by seven.
He's clearly the best fantasy option.
I think he's the best fantasy option.
I'll put it that way.
That's totally fair.
I feel like him in the fifth and Thomas in the fourth, I think the smart play was the fifth, and I'm glad for that.
Yeah. What do you do with Royce Freeman right now?
He's going to be the goal line back all year.
Okay.
It's very clear he's going to be the that's where they put him in.
He's good at it, too.
Yeah, yeah, he's going to be the goal line back all year. So, I don't know. It seems
I feel like this offense is going to go to Lindsay when they're behind.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Or in any passing situation. And when they are running up a score and have a two-score lead, then it's going to be all Royce Freeman.
I want to put this out there. People talk about a lot about Lindsay's size. I believe I read that he played ran the ball. He accounted for 93% of his college team's rushing attempts, non-quarterback rushing attempts.
Okay.
So running backs and wide receivers, which is...
He's fairly durable.
Durable bell cow status.
Okay.
Granted, this is the NFL. It's a different level, but he might be around. That might have been a great pickup for whoever picked him up last week or the week before. I know he was picked up the week before in a lot of leagues, too.
I think the most frustrating player in fantasy football is Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
Nothing makes sense.
Yeah, so many games of nothing, and then you have games like this.
10 catches, 116 yards, got all 10 of his targets.
Yep.
Just, like, what is going on? Derek Carr, by the way, they're not asking him to do a ton.
Yeah.
But he's deadly accurate right now.
That's good.
29 of 32.
Holy crap. I didn't even see that. That's unreal.
Yeah.
I have not rewatched this game or watched this game yet.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's just going to pass short. Got this short passing game going on.
Well, I mean, it looks like the long for at least four of these players was over 20 yards. So that's good. Maybe those were short and they ran it. I don't know.
Some yak in there.
Have not watched yet, so.
All right. New England and Jacksonville. I'll back up. My research going into the Jaguars, looking at last season, was that they didn't face any tight ends worth a damn last year. And the reason that their tight end
statistics
looked so great was that they did not play anybody.
Right.
In weeks one and two, they shut down Evan Engram and shut down Rob Gronkowski. So
maybe they're just good.
It's just legit.
Yeah.
It's just something.
Yeah. Bortles studded out. Sonny Michel had this is one of the games I watched. Sonny Michel had one hell of a run, just barreling through people, breaking tackles. It gives me some hope for down the line. But New England running backs in general it's tough. It's tough to like.
So Michelle ends
up. James White, second great game, though, because of receptions.
Michelle ends up with 11 touches. James White ends up with 11 touches.
Yeah.
Rex Burkhead ends up with 6.
Yeah. And then we got Edelman and Josh Gordon coming in within the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
By the way, did you see they cut Corey Coleman?
Yep.
To make room for Josh. Poor Corey Coleman.
I know, right? That was very short lived.
Like, every time Josh Gordon shows up, he gets cut.
Yep.
Like, stop, Josh Gordon. No. Leave me alone.
Oh, it's crazy. Terrible.
On the other side of the field, Blake Bortles came up huge in this game. They asked him to do a ton. He threw 45 times, 377 and four, including a couple of really great throws to Keelan Cole, who looks like he might be something. There was a one-handed catch down the sideline that was like just on the money.
He's gonna be a startable wide receiver most of the season. Westbrook, I don't know, though, because that one where he caught it probably, what, within 10 yards?
Yeah.
And the rest was running down the sideline, basically. That's Westbrook for you. Big plays. Otherwise,
some yak.
Yep.
The Giants and Cowboys played a totally boring game. The only couple things to glean. Saquon Barkley is awesome.
Yeah, he wasn't involved in the passing game much in the first game. In this game, he was catching it and super elusive.
So he had the 16 targets, 14 receptions, 80 yards. Doesn't get a touchdown in this game, but super involved. Barkley, Engram, Beckham are the guys that you can start on the Giants side, and you'll probably not want to start anybody else, including Eli and Sterling Shepard, who are probably sitting on rosters.
Yeah, Beckham, because of that 51-yard game. A lot of guillotine leagues he got cut.
Let me ask you something.
Cowboys, Elliott, and no one else?
No.
Is that it?
Is Jeff Fisher to blame for Tavon Austin?
I don't know.
I mean,
gets a big touchdown.
That was a big touchdown, and holy crap, that guy's fast.
Yeah, when players like that in the NFL, you keep thinking, how don't offensive coordinators just figure out a player two or three or four for them each game?
Yeah.
Just to try to figure something out.
So Austin only gets two targets in the game and one rushing attempt. To me, that's kind of nuts.
Yeah.
He had a 64-yard touchdown, a 15-yard reception, and a 15-yard rushing attempt. You're getting a minimum of 15 yards when you give that guy the ball. Throw him the ball. Like, give him the ball.
Yeah. Exactly.
Figure out ways to get him out in space and make it happen. Some screen passes, something. Let's go.
Hack Prescott.
And Zeke, you can start because Zeke's going to get 20 touches a game, and he's probably going to get the Cowboys' lone touchdown.
Lone touchdown each game. Oh.
Finally, the Monday nighter. That happened last night. Chicago and Seattle. Bears defense comes up with the pick six at the tail end of the game. I was happy about that. In the league I played, so it was team defense. Mm-hmm. It was a Prince Amukamara return. Other than that, the Bears didn't really do all that much in the game. Trubisky throws for two touchdowns, but there's...
Burton got a shovel pass. Yeah, Allen Robinson.
Allen Robinson got all the targets. That's something to take away.
On the other side.
Jordan Howard, what the heck, man? 14 carries, 35 yards?
Yeah.
Any more?
Yes. Especially against the Seahawks, whose defense is not what they used to be. But on the Seahawks side, not only did Will Disley follow up that huge game with 3 for 42 and a touchdown, Russell Wilson threw to him like 40 yards downfield into double coverage. Like, there's trust there. Something's going on. I am not,
they got an apartment together?
I am no longer dismissing Will Disley.
You're not going to diss Disley?
I'm not dismissing this anymore. Especially with Baldwin out. I think he's actually a viable tight end option.
It's worth noting that my guy Nick Vanette had the same amount of targets as Walt Disney.
There it is. Walt Disney. Penny did not look good from what I saw anyway. But they're running backs you don't even want anymore.
Besides Russell Wilson and Tyler Lockett in a good matchup, is there anybody you really feel confident about starting on Seattle?
Confident? No.
No.
No. Nope.
The running game's still an absolute disaster. Yeah. And I don't know if I still believe in Walt Disney yet.
I think it depends on your tight end situation and the matchup, but I'm starting to come around that he's a viable streaming tight end option. Like, after the first week, I just wasn't in at all. Like, I thought that could have been his only good game this year. Now I'm not so sure.
All right. That's the end of the week two games. That was probably longer than you wanted it to be, wasn't it?
Yeah. What are you gonna do?
We will do a mailbag show of some sort. Either it'll be me or Charch or Fish or one of the three of us will be involved in it. Yeah. Or Batman's been doing some content for us on the side as well. If you want to ask Batman a question, fish@fanball.com is the email. You can send in your questions, or you can and put the subject mailbag on there. We can answer that. Or you can send a question to @bat2cfootball. Like fantasy football, but bat instead of fan. And maybe Batman will answer your question live on Twitter.
That's beautiful.
Batman's so cool.
Batman is so cool.
I wish I was that guy. He's so fun.
He seems to have some mad fantasy knowledge, too.
Yeah. It sounds a little bit like a wrestler. Like he's like a wrestling heel. But I don't know. We'll put up the bat signal later in the week. And if you got start sit questions or basically any question, you can send them on to Fish or Batman and somebody will answer them for you.
I will get them to Batman. Fish@fanball.com. I will get them to Batman. I know him personally.
What? I wasn't invited.
I don't tell many people this. That's why I'm saying it on a podcast that might not be heard by a lot of people. I don't want it out there.
Again, you want some free entries to some contests?
Yeah.
Or some free monies
in your
account?
Did we say put mailbag in the subject
line? Yeah, I said mailbag in the subject line.
I must have missed that.
Fanball.com/radio will take you to charge. Give you $5 in your account for a $5 contest. Mm-hmm. And then also fanball.com/leaguesafe also will give you $5.
That's $10
in credit that you can go ahead and play on the LeagueSafe exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh, what's happening? Oh, our podcast might be up. People might be hearing this right now.
Oh,
this is exciting.
Yeah.
This is good news.
Yay.
All right. For Scott Fish, @ScottFish24 on Twitter, I'm Matt Harrison, @ExplosiveOutput, and we'll see you next time on Fantasy Football Almost Daily.